Okay, so let's break it down into the terms that even the youngest among us are going to understand it. The Social Security number and all its interconnected systemic adhesion contracts, what have you, they comprise what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. Any arm of this system that one has voluntarily applied for through something called an application has yet to distance himself from it or anything like that. It's a valid mark of that person's association with that beast system, authority over you. Some are not willing to accept this. I will warn folks that such denial might cost you your eternities. Think in the simplest lines of logic here. Can you give up your Social Security number to show your allegiance to the Father and Him alone? Can you do that, or have you done it? Well, if your defense is that you have to be practical or realistic due to the things you're now afforded and thereby presently trust in by such ties, and thereby can't let go of your Social Security number, which is still voluntary, by the way, because it would make it nearly impossible to get along in this world, then what are you really saying? Think about it. You're saying that you won't be able to carry on with any ease of commerce. In other words, you won't be able to buy or sell. Isn't that correct? What does the Bible say will be the main characteristic of the mark of the beast? And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Or as it says in the Strong's, stamp, badge, or as I would say, an ID card, eh? Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then you think it over that, well, I'll wait till it gets more certain that this is the case, perhaps when they make it mandatory, and then I'll know for sure that this is what the Bible is talking about. Well, not so fast. Think about it. Just like the same type of Roman Catholic decree that went out in the year 1163 against Yahweh's also small remnant of their day that did the same thing, it mandated that the people were to be strictly forbidden to buy or sell or have any commerce with these Protestant heretics under penalty of law. What does the lack of food do to people? It often kills them off, doesn't it? Well, that was the purpose of the edict in 1163, and a lot of the remnant did have trouble staying alive. The purpose is the same today as it was in the days of this decree of 1163. They wanted the dissenters dead. What does Yahweh say? Does he say to compromise with them and partake in their sins? Of course not. Again, Revelation 18:4 says not to partake in their sins, that you be not receivers of her plagues. Okay? And what's the plague? Well, of course, the plague, as we know, is a lack of Holy Spirit wisdom, which means no salvation. So, besides, what is going on all around us anyway, my friends? Are we not all being slowly and systematically slow-killed anyway? If we know we're being slaughtered like some aged cattle anyway as each year progresses, why not stop feeding this system our power? And we're doing that by openly and willfully giving them this power. See our video that we call Purity Perfects Power, and it explains it pretty clearly. But what about those who say that they still think that they can trust the Constitution to save them? Or some other man-made law? The Constitution was written to be a distraction from the dichotomy between Father's biblical law and the elite's multi-layered Luciferian humanist laws. That'd be like natural law, common law, admiralty law, canon law. All those make up this multi-layered system they have that's opposed to the Father's true, simple, biblical law system. And they do this to make it look like there's some kind of a neutral ground between the two. Secularism, which is completely opposite the Father's system, which means it's in opposition to, or satanic. So there's no neutral ground again, as I've said for years, where there is not a single neutral ground to run to. In fact, let's trace it all back for the academics' sake of this all. The Declaration of Independence was never genuinely recognized. A lot of us know that now. It couldn't be. It was signed by the same people that were supposedly the ones that we were entering it against. The Constitution was never really recognized either, and was merely a well-drafted mirage. It was an illusionary set of scales of justice set in place to appear as if we had liberty under a non-existent, secular, or neutral law and justice system that can't even exist. Where even in Article 6 of that very Constitution, it states that it is worthless in light of previous documents that might otherwise have claim over the United States, just as it did under the Articles of Confederation. And what does the Articles of Confederation say? The Articles of Confederation put it this way. The new Confederation pledges that it will honor all bills of credit, debts, and contracts entered into by the Congress before these Articles of Confederation became operative. Now, of course, this is the same wording as Article 6 in the Constitution, although Article 6 uses the word engagements. But if you look up the word engagements in Black's Law Dictionary, it's French law meaning a contract. Same word. Okay, so we're right back to square one anyway. But then it talks about how this was entered into by the Congress. Well, if these are the original documents, as the historic rewriters claim, then there couldn't have been a Congress before this to have entered us into a contract or an engagement, could there? Right. This is where they've also been lying to us. There were documents that were in place before the Constitution, before the Articles of Confederation, before the Declaration of Independence, that they don't tell you about. Some of them were the things like the Mayflower Compact that was written on the Mayflower itself before they landed, preparing themselves to follow the Father's Bible when they got there. There were a lot like that. The New Haven Bay colonies, their documents, a lot of documents from true biblical believers from the 1600s. On the other side of that coin, there were some pretty shady ones going on where they were already trying to get us away from that Bible again already, get us back into humanist laws. And that's where we're going here. There's one called the Great Charter of November 13th, 1618, that supposedly was lost forever. Gee, what a convenient situation, huh? It contained a system of an executive power lodged mainly in one person and a legislator of two houses. Okay? That's a Congress. So somewhere around in 1600s, there were sneaky dogs already taking our system away from us, based on what? As we showed you before, the 1492 planting of the flag by Columbus with the Spanish crown, which is not a Spanish crown, but a franchise of who? The Vatican, the Holy Roman Empire that still exists today. So connect all the dots. Connect them all very carefully for yourselves, folks. The Constitution's worthless. It's no more valuable to you than that Charmin paper hanging on your wall in your bathroom. There are also the people in this nation who, innocently enough, think that there's two constitutions, one that says Constitution of America, of the United States, and one for the United States. And I bought into this myself almost a decade back. But it's, and I'm trying to explain to people, we're all guilty of this, and none of us should be offended, because we all once believed in this Constitution. I believed in, with quotes, we believed in this Constitution, sort of like we believed in something else. Like, it's like arguing over which of two Easter bunnies is the real one. It's not realistic to think about it that way when you know the truth. Both Easter bunnies don't exist. Interestingly enough, too, by the way, this book from 1907 that I happened to have in my library has hardly a single mention of the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the Mayflower Landing, the Mayflower Compact, the Plymouth Rock. It has hardly a mention anywhere of any of that. What it does have throughout the rest of the book, though, are occasional mentions of the conflict between Protestants and Catholics, and it emphasizes how there was eventually unity between the Catholics and Protestants, not telling you that they weren't allowed on our shores for a while as well. But that's just another thing. It just shows how they were trying to rewrite history even in 1907. Okay, so you guys please understand, they've been doing this to us for a long time. Keep it in mind, the Father says keep my commandments. Satan says no, don't do that. So it's sort of like we're all in sort of a giant courtroom of sorts, where the Father's allowing us all to put him on trial here. Who's telling the truth? Yahweh and his document that says, I love you, but keep my commandments? Or Satan that says, yea, hath God said? Here, let's write our own rules. Whose story can be verified and substantiated as to who is genuinely the author and the authority over all of us here on this planet. Think hard about it, folks. Our eternities, our souls, our nation, our children's futures all depend on this. Think hard. All glory to the Father. Hallelujah. Thanks for joining me again.